Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly Roundup for the week ending 6th of November, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. For further details on these and other stories, please go to http://news.stonepages.com. First, we can thank a listener who pointed out my terrible pronunciation of Chinese names recently and who has agreed to help us in the future. If you want to comment or correct anything you actually hear on Archaeology News Weekly, please email us via the Stone Pages website. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Threats to a prehistoric quarry in New Hampshire. A large Neolithic settlement is unearthed in Britain. New archaeological work has begun near the Thornborough Henges. A skeleton buried in a fetal position is discovered in Beijing. The 5,000-year-old necklace is also unearthed in China. The British Commons Bill is discussed in relation to archaeology, and a Polynesian cemetery unlocks ancient burial secrets. Investigations in China show the greenhouse effect occurred 5,000 years ago, while a dig in near Tucson, Arizona, uncovers an ancient settlement. And finally, at Gohar Tepe in Iran, a 3,000-year-old warrior is still ready for a fight. Blasting and construction for a $28 million motorsports park has been cleared to proceed, even though it will be located right next to an area that archaeologists call one of New Hampshire's most significant and endangered prehistoric sites. While the project won't directly affect the adjacent prehistoric quarry, the project could spur on other development, endangering the site later. American Indians began using the Ossipee Mountain Quarry, now located on privately owned land, around 9,000 years ago, and it was still in use when European settlers arrived. The quarry contains hornfels, which is a volcanic rock harder than flint, which breaks cleanly and predictably, making it prized by prehistoric people for making tools. The stone was shaped into spearheads, arrowheads, knives and scrapers, and many other objects. Tools from the quarry's stone have been unearthed throughout New Hampshire and in southern Maine. Only 10 other prehistoric quarries have been discovered in New Hampshire, and the Hornfels Quarry is especially valuable and is believed the site is eligible for inclusion on the National Register of Historic Places. A lack of funding and staff has so far prevented a study to find the nature of the site and to preserve it. David Starbuck, an archaeologist and associate anthropology and sociology professor at Plymouth State University, has visited the site and said that while he had heard of the existence of prehistoric quarries of Hornsvell, he didn't realise just how rich they could be. Archaeologists have unearthed what is thought to be one of the largest Neolithic settlements in Britain, which is probably associated with a nearby series of 9 prehistoric ritual centres. The discovery, which includes buildings, a human burial pit, tools, pottery and ritual objects, was uncovered at a Northumberland quarry. The discovery was made during routine archaeological investigations of the quarry, which is run by Tarmac. The settlement, near Millfield Village, Northumberland, includes at least 3 buildings dating to the 4000 BCE, or early Neolithic period, and 3 buildings from 3000 BCE in the later Neolithic period. The site is an area which has rich archaeological history, dominated by the enormous Yeavering Bell Hill Fort, built 1,000 years after the huts and henges on the plain below. The dwellings are surrounded by timber and earth bank henges, so close in date it is assumed that they must have been built by the same people. Each building was a rectangle made of timber and thatch. The largest was 13 metres long and 5 metres wide. The houses are 900 metres from a series of henge monuments, the largest of which was 100 metres in diameter, and surrounded by banks and ditches with scores of wooden uprights. And nearby, archaeologists have also found a much earlier settlement dating from around 1,000 years before the henges themselves were constructed. This earlier settlement appears to have consisted of 2 roundhouses and a grain storage building, and this reveals bizarre evidence of prehistoric ritual practice. Inside one of the houses, archaeologists have found the remains of a human skeleton buried in a pit. It is possible that the individual, a child or teenager, was a close relative who the inhabitants of the house wanted to keep within the family, even after death. This earlier settlement, dating from 6,000 years ago, has also yielded 3 storage pits, probably used to store grain, but ultimately used to contain refuse, possibly of a ritual nature. As in one of the pits, archaeologists have found a rough out for a carved stone ball, of a type thought to have been used for ceremonial rituals. Archaeologists said that the find was highly important because remains of buildings are rarely found on Neolithic settlements in England. The site will provide important evidence for the debate on whether Neolithic people lived a mobile existence, as their hunter-gatherer forebears are thought to have done, or whether they lived a more sedentary existence in permanent houses. The excavations have been jointly funded by Tarmac and a grant delivered by English Heritage through the Aggregates Levy Sustainability Fund. While on the subject of quarries and tarmac, fresh archaeological survey work underway at a proposed quarry site close to the ancient Thornborough Henges in North Yorkshire, England, has come in from criticism from the heritage campaign group Time Watch. The further examination of the site at Ladybridge Farm follows North Yorkshire County Council's recent decision to defer a quarrying application by Tarmac for more detailed analysis of the site's archaeology. But the chairman of Time Watch, George Chaplin, is unhappy in the way it has been conducted. The new digging will not produce the 8-10% sample required by English Heritage and, in fact, is focused on an area where artefacts have already been found, he said this week. The researchers appear to be focusing only on Neolithic archaeology in one location, while additional important archaeology is likely to be located where they're not looking. We're concerned that the current digging is being done in a hurried manner, in bad weather, using heavy equipment and without the constant supervision of an outside group of archaeologists who have no vested interest in the outcome. But archaeologist Steve Timms, who is heading the team conducting the additional archaeological investigation at Ladybridge, has dismissed the group's claims. The work is being undertaken by a team of highly qualified professional archaeologists and is being monitored on a weekly basis by a representative from English Heritage, the county archaeologist and the heritage manager from North Yorkshire County Council. Mike Hayworth, president of the Council for British Archaeology, was also invited to monitor the work but declined, stating, "We have every confidence in the monitoring process which will take place through North Yorkshire County Council and English Heritage staff, and do not see the need for further independent monitoring on top of this." Mr. Timms added, details of the work are published daily on the website, and anyone wishing to visit the site while the excavation is in progress is welcome to come and have a look. If Time Watch would like to come and see the work for themselves, I'd be more than happy to show them around personally. A Chinese archaeological team jointly set up by the School of Archaeology and Museum Studies of the Beijing University and Research Institute of Cultural Relics has recently discovered an early Neolithic human skeleton buried in the fetal position, dating from around 9,000 years ago. The burial faces the Qing Shui River, backing onto a mountain slope, just to avoid the bitter northwest winds. There are many possibilities for the burial. For instance, the deceased was bent and buried, or the lower limbs were bent back just after its death, explained Lu Tzu-e, an archaeologist with Beijing University. The skeleton dates back to the early Neolithic, around 9,000 years ago, said Professor Zhao Xiaohong, the leader of the team with the School of Beijing University. Apart from the strange burial posture, another feature of the buried skeleton, dubbed as Dung Hu Lin Man, attracted people's attention. Firstly, there are scattered about dozens of spiral conch shells measuring about 1 centimetre long, near the hands and knees of the dead, which can be connected. Very beautiful, the conches are white, glittering with silver rays, which may have been linked as a necklace. In addition, many pearl shells of different sizes between 2 to 3 centimetres with holes are found in the burial. There are also carefully polished jade wares with two kinds, white and greenish colours. They might have been used as ornaments, showing an aesthetic consciousness of people from over 10,000 years ago. As to the age of the dead, the experts say the deceased was about 30 years old, while others do say it was 17 or 18 years old. Zhao Xiaohong said that it is certainly the individual was an adult, standing around 1.6 metres high. At the present, the newly discovered Dung Hu Lin Man skeleton has been moved to Beijing University. Archaeologists recently unearthed a dainty necklace at an archaeological site dating back 4 to 5,000 years in central China's Henan province. Unlike today's necklaces of gold or silver, or primitive ones of animal teeth, this one was made of white porcelain, said Jin Yin Dun, director of the Cultural Heritage Bureau in the ancient city of Dengfeng. The necklace was found among several other white porcelain wares and some implements made of stone and animal bones. At Nanhua archaeological site in Jiangkuo Shuo village of Dongfeng City. Never before had Chinese archaeologists found so many pieces of white porcelain at one site. The Nanhua archaeological site was somewhere from 4 to 5,000 years old and belonged to the Yang Shao culture that was formed in the Neolithic period, which was discovered in Yang Shao village of Henan province in 1921. About 55% of common land in England is designated as a site of special scientific interest, and 43% of this is classified by English Nature as in poor or declining condition and therefore bad for wildlife. To rectify this and promote sustainable farming practices, public access and biodiversity, the British government has set out legislation to deliver a target of returning 95% of these sites into good condition by 2010. The Commons Bill is a move towards this, and having already gone through the House of Commons, is now in the House of Lords, where it is undergoing grand review. The bill, however, is not without its critics, particularly from the commoners, who see it as further evidence of the government meddling in land management by imposing grazing restrictions on land and severely restricting stocking levels on the commons for a significant part of the year. These changes to grazing and stocking levels may lead to fragile archaeology suffering as structures and features are hidden and or destroyed as the vegetation cover re-establishes itself. On Bodmin Moor in Cornwall, the increase in gorse brought about by previous grazing restriction is stopping all but the most determined of walkers reaching the Longhouse or Fox Tor, for example. Of course, increasing vegetation cover can be a good thing by protecting structures and features that are seen to be at risk. Some see it as a method of conserving them for future investigation, but, at the very least, these sites need to be mapped now before they are lost beneath the gorse, heather and bracken, and before the chance to further understand the prehistory is hidden from us. The first people to settle Polynesia went to surprising lengths to honour their dead. Remains from the oldest cemetery in the Pacific suggest the Lapita people buried their dead in different ways, some in yoga-like positions, and others had had their skulls removed for ceremonial purposes. Dr. Stuart Bedford and Professor Matthew Spriggs of the Australian National University reported their finds on the Lapita culture in Vanuatu at a recent seminar in Canberra, Australia. They found skulls buried in a pot sealed by a flat-bottomed ceramic dish that had been used as a lid. The site where they are excavating is at Tio'uma in Vanuatu, and it appears to be around 3,100 years old. They found evidence of 25 burials, all skeletons without their skulls. The researchers did find teeth where the heads should have been, however, and Dr. Bedford says evidence that the heads were not being removed immediately after death, but were removed after decomposition. Apart from the skull found in the pot, the researchers found another three skulls on the chest of the remains of another person. Dr. Bedford said that removing skulls of the deceased is a long-standing practice in the Pacific before the missionaries arrived, with skulls often being removed to ceremonial houses. The Lapita people could be the source of this practice, as evidence is that this burial practice is 3,000 years old. It is common sense nowadays that excessive carbon dioxide in the air caused by excessive timber operations leads to global greenhouse effects, but a team of archaeologists from China and the United States is saying that the greenhouse effect started about 5,000 years ago, much earlier than people might expect. This is the conclusion reached by a group of Chinese and United States archaeologists, based on research on the relics excavated from the ruins of a Neolithic site in Raozhao City, East China's Shandun province, over the past 10 years. The joint archaeological team of experts from Shandun University and US scholars began its survey at the ruins of the ancient Liangchong town in the suburb of Raozhao in 1995, focusing on the relationships between plants and human activity. They collected wood samples from the site and did research on 21 pieces of waterlogged timber and 3 pieces of charcoal. Archaeologists found that wood excavated at the site was mostly the remains of burning or construction activities. Prehistoric humans probably burned wood in cooking, lighting, pottery kilns, and even bronze smelting, while large quantities of relics of ancient houses indicate that people used large quantities of trees to build houses. Archaeologists are finding that people who lived in the area northwest of Tucson, Arizona in the USA 3,000 years ago have more in common with us than we like to think. One thing that's fairly obvious, that they came here because water was plentiful. You have water coming off the slopes of the Tortolita and the Tucson Mountains, and this is where the Santa Cruz River spreads out and would have been a prime place for agriculture. Michael Cook, the Archaeological Project Manager for Westland Resources, explained to us. It worked well for a time. Archaeologists believe a big flood, similar in scale to the one in 1983, forced these ancient people to move about 2,800 years ago. Finding the artifacts roughly 7 feet below the surface hasn't been all that easy. What their findings are teaching us is quite a lot as to how they stored their food. Big pits underneath with small openings on top, plenty of space and easy to cover. And they're also finding the food itself, with some of the oldest corn found in southern Arizona. Also uncovered on the site are spear tips and figurines, which may be the oldest in southern Arizona. The figurines were found alongside burnt antlers, suggesting a ritual. The ancient people knew exactly what they were doing, though. Food, shelter, and water. All the requirements that we're having problems with today. They had it figured out. A team of archaeologists working at the 3,000-year-old site of Gohartepe in Iran's northern province of Mazandaran has recently unearthed a skeleton of a warrior buried in an attacking pose with a dagger in his hands. He's holding the 26-centimeter dagger and appears to be making a forward thrust. And the evidence shows that he was originally buried in this pose. This is the first burial of this kind ever found in Iran. The archaeologists have not yet been able to determine why the man was buried in this exact position. Beside the skeleton, a number of dishes have also been found, which seem to have been presented to the warrior. One of the dishes had some holes in it, containing the remains of coal. Archaeologists have discovered such dishes before, but they could not determine the practical application. But the traces of coal indicate that this dish had been used for burning incense. The skeleton was also wearing a beautiful coiled shell necklace. Covering an area of 40 hectares, Gohartepe is located near the town of Beshahar. The site dates back to the Iron Age. Mazandaran is one of Iran's archaeological treasures. Studies show that the region has been inhabited for over 400,000 years. Urbanization is thought to have developed in the region sometime around 3000 BCE, and the new findings at Gohartepe provide further evidence for this theory. The excavations, which aim to determine the exact style of urbanization of the site, will continue until late November. New archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as an improved UK heritage calendar and library section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more on these and other stories can be found at Stone Pages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.